Here, in the deep, potential-laden darkness, your body remains your own body, occupied by your insulated mind, waiting, watching the world around you, except darkness surrounds you, fills you, is everywhere and comfortable and a part of you. But still, even in that void, you feel air around your body. Only air, as if some silent beam suspended you, like the classical image of an alien abduction. And indeed, it might not be entirely your imagination that you sense some distant humming, some energy moving about you. But it ceases eventually. Still, fortunately, you are not required to support your whole weight on your own. As deep, drowsy, droopy, soothed and complacent as your mind may feel after the sudden but welcome escape from consciousness, supporting your whole weight by standing up would be an onerous chore. Instead, you are left in a natural position on hands and knees. The surface under your body is peculiar, but this hands and knees position is comfortable because while that surface is rubber, it conforms to the shapes of your palms, the contours of your knees, becoming softer, more welcoming. So much so, it's almost like leaning on a slightly squishy pillow. It might yield or move below your knees, squeaking as you stir, but you nonetheless find a way to be comfortable. The contours around you are soothing, after a period where you were barely even fully aware of any surface as you drifted through the prevailing darkness. At this time, you notice the surface you're on is moving forward. The beam, or the energy that was holding you suspended, has long since faded. But the air is no less dim, dark, impenetrable. Still, you have a surface you are touching, a place for your consciousness to find purchase, and your body to grip and rise upon. Still, it won't do to rise if you can't be sure of where you are, and the darkness surrounds nonetheless. Your eyes have not yet adjusted, suggesting the darkness is either absolute, or a product of mind rather than body, being unable to adjust to what it is you see. Either way, it persists, and so you decide to rise anyway. Cleverly, you conclude raising a hand above your head to gauge the presence of any ceilings or obstructions would be the wisest first move. However, the moving surface makes this potentially dangerous anyway. And then it becomes quite apparent that your hands and knees will be staying right where they are. Rising up on them would be impossible, with the way the pillowy surface now not only supports, but also wraps around the backs of your knees and encases them, and then moves down to wrap around your feet, keeping them in place as well. And your hands have sunk into it a little. It's joining around your wrists. Just a few inches, but it prevents you from gaining enough purchase to truly rise. It's like a conveyor belt, except this is some technology beyond the norm, something refined by people who've done this before. It allows you to proceed. You become aware of distant animal noises from somewhere far away. Disquieting. Perhaps more so, when paired with the now all too evident whir of machinery. Then, your intention to raise your body up and survey your surroundings better becomes real on its own. Under your hands, that dark surface rises. It forms a pair of tight restraining bracers around your forearms and raises them. Your knees are freed, but just as quickly your feet are captured, and you're pushed into a kind of leaned-forward standing position, bracing your hands on those pillars of dark rubber encasement. There's nothing to obstruct your rising, though. You are safe. Your mind is now recovering from whatever darkness you passed through on your way here. It is nonetheless within your power to try to stir. Your arms will not move. The grip is comfortable, even gentle, but it is also definite. Held in place, you begin looking around, yet the place is still in darkness. The temperature must be well controlled, because your body still feels comfortable, even though you've just realized you've been nude since your arrival here on this unusual surface. This is all right. After all, no one can see you in this darkness. But at that moment you hear a click sound, and a light pops on ahead of you. Not over your head, but over someone else you see ahead of you on the conveyor belt. In the fringes of this light, you see the belt is actually one smooth, dark surface, and two spindly tendrils of its material have wrapped around your wrists, then become solid to hold you up and give you the slightly leaned forward yet comfortable position. It moves in a straight line. There are guardrails to the left and right of you, but darkness beyond. This keeps anyone from moving off. Not that you could, anyway. Ahead of you is another figure, positioned just as you are. You don't hear or sense any breathing behind you, so you must be the last one in line. But in the solitary light, you can see the other figures ahead of you, and especially the one in front of you. Every now and then, in the forward-pitching darkness, a light illuminates what's going on, or snaps off. Your impression of this place as technologically advanced was spot on. Massive machinery stands free to the left and right of what you've come to call the treadmill, though that term doesn't quite do it justice. You see the figure ahead of you in more detail. He is also nude, and his position leans him over so his buttocks are in view, and his naked length hangs below him. His wrists are encapsulated in dark restraints like yours, and he too must have found out struggling is futile, because he's not attempting it now. You see a machine armature descend. It looks like a long metal pole. Its tip glows with a faint red light. This moves in from behind the man's head and touches his scalp. You hear a brief buzzing sound. The man looks around, unharmed, yet clearly the machine did something there. The device withdraws. Another one moves forward and touches his stomach. This one has a green tip. Some kind of high-tech laser, maybe? Are they scanning him? When you feel a flat, smooth metal disc touch the back of your head, you hear the same buzz, your eyes crossing involuntarily for a moment, seeing spots behind them. But the arm leaves, vanishing into the darkness to your right. You just saw it happen to the man in front of you, so you try to squirm your belly away from it, as the second rod descends, with the green light on the tip. But it follows you, finding your belly and touching it. The brief contact buzzes like static electricity. You don't feel any different, though. Your mind is still there. You quickly run the checks anyone might in this situation. You count up to 10. 1, 2, 3. On and on. You recall your name, your home, though there's a blank space between what you were doing right before you came here and now. Everything still checks out. Your mind is still vital, still capable and smart. Smart enough to know you'll just have to wait for a chance to escape. You pull at the restraints on your wrists, but they are taffy and they spring back when you try. So you watch the man in front of you. Maybe some clue about what is happening to him will help you in your planning, after all. You notice a faint tingling on your skin, but it's easy to dismiss as a consequence of laying on this weird rubber surface for a while, or the suspension beam earlier. Or really, it doesn't feel that unpleasant. It's a bit like what you imagine a full-body massage might do. Tingling suspension, your skin free of any tension, any distraction. You feel not numbness, everything is there. But when you try to see if your muscles are sore or uncomfortable, you just get a signal in your brain that says, nah, they're fine. The belt stops. Another arm comes down behind the man in front of you. It has some kind of fluted tip on the metal rod this time. Rubber or silicone. You see the entire armature turn at a right degree angle, obscuring the tip from your view. The end slides toward the man tethered in front of you. and it does something out of your sight. He grunts but doesn't complain. You see his legs shiver. When the arm recedes, you see there's now some device in his rear. It has a trailing tail, as if it was meant to connect to something else. The device seems to have slipped in easily, apparently pliable. The man's buttocks clench around it. Then you hear that arm behind you. At this time, you notice the flesh of the man in front of you is changing, becoming different. His belly shifts position. Light gray fur, and then hair, no fur, sprouting from his skin. His neck is also lengthening. Then, you were so distracted by that, you forgot to even try and move out of the way of the arm coming from behind you. You feel something press against your rear, and slide inside, yieldingly and curiously easily. There's momentary discomfort, then a feeling of intense relaxation, flooding your body, into the rest of you. The arm leaves and leaves the device inside you. You squirm and squeeze your buttocks, your mind sending signals to resist, but the musculature in your body has different ideas. You're still just as able of processing, just as capable of thinking, observing, but you find your voice unable to cry out, except the same quiet grunt the man in front of you made. You are aware of your body. It's still pleasantly numb, but you feel something warm under your skin, then on it. You feel fur sprouting on you too. You once more try to squirm, but your body stays where it is. Your mind is active. You can look around, but you are now beholden to whatever other processes this place works on you. You see a faint red light come out of the darkness ahead, but this is thin, spindly beams. They pan over the man in front of you, and you hear a ding, an approving noise from the silence. His form has changed considerably. Yours must be starting to look the same. You feel it growing, out of you, fur. You feel your buttocks still tingling. Your head, too, your scalp, again as if it were being massaged. The lasers rove over you, and you hear that same ding as you are scanned. You must be approved because you continue to move forward. And yes, something has begun to run through you, a shiver of change. It begins at your rear each time, then moves all the way through to the top of your head. You feel your neck change first. Or at least that is the change you are most aware of. A sense not only of being able to keep it pointed straight, but the ability to bend it differently than before. Then a tingling warmth all along your throat, a strange reconfiguration within. You once more try to make the grunt, and all that comes out is a long, protracted braying. A sound almost strangled and unfamiliar. And yet, it comes out of your throat so naturally. The feeling your head is becoming just a little bit further from your body. Your shoulders shiver. Your hands also seem to be getting further away and smaller, darker. Your body is pushed backward away from your wrist cuffs by a feeling of twisting and lengthening. Your arms are certainly stronger, and they bend differently, like you could stand on them any time, all the time. Which you'll have to, because they have by now begun with a tingling and a feeling of stretched strangeness, begun to join into hooves on long spindly legs, furred in gray. The whole length still lingers with the warmth of the change. Speaking of length, this is when you become aware of a change between your legs as well. One of those armatures has moved between your legs and is pointing a green light at your length. This gives you a chance to notice there's a tube full of some liquid attached to the device, and as the light shines on you, the liquid slowly vanishes. It is gray and it bubbles. Is it being transported into your body by that light? A strange place, very much advanced, and clearly they have their procedure for this down. Thoughts of that begin to fade as you focus attention again on your moving flesh. Your skin is now furred all down your legs, stomach, thighs. Your body is leaning forward a little more. The rubbery restraints are receding into the platform, allowing you to lean further forward, until your forehooves contact the grid of the conveyor belt. Your torso has lengthened. Your feet, no, you cannot feel toes. That same stretched, tingling feeling, a warmth flushing up your legs, terminating in your flanks. Your back feet are planted on the conveyor. And so are your hands, which have joined into hooves. Gray fur runs up your arms and legs. Of all four legs now, you guess. Your buttocks clench around the device inside, which is buzzing not entirely unpleasantly, in time with the laser pointed between your legs. Something strange. As the arm between your legs leaves, there's a sense of pulling as it moves away from you, as if it were tugging your length. But rather than reaching full extension, your flaccid shaft becomes longer and longer. Despite the other alterations, you might not complain about this one. But there is something forming at the base of it. A ring of flesh, like a sheath surrounding the base of your cock, that it might recede into if it became completely flaccid. You also feel the head change. It trembles as sensitive bumps form, and if you strain your vision back and down, you can see a flared, flat head, and a massive length. All of it is as sensitive as your cock on its own used to be. But now, it's been spread across it, or perhaps your brain just interprets it that way. So it's equally sensitive everywhere. Then you feel the unusual sensation of another metal device with the laser on the end, touching just above your buttocks. You remain flaccid. You feel something extending from your body, slow at first, like flesh inside you moving outward, then like an extension of muscle, warm, tingling, stretched. Definitely a feeling like your furred flesh is stretching. Then you feel it. A long, swishing tail falls down past your buttocks, a few ragged hairs tickling the back of your testes where they have increased in size after the treatment and changes. Your entire body is now completely at ease on four legs, and the tingling movement around your face and mouth intensifies. You feel your upper jaw extending, comfortable and natural, but still stretched and different. A peculiar sensation, but just of stretching, of consistent change, and tingling warmth alongside it. The tail hangs down past the device in your rear, as the laser which grew said tail recedes. At this point you notice another one, this one red. You look back and see your furred flank. Looking ahead, you see the same device touching the side of the donkey ahead of you, who is now a furred and tailed figure. It's obvious what he is. His human-like head has long ears rising out of the top, and his jaw is lengthening forward into a muzzle as yours must be. You see his tail swishing back and forth behind large testes like yours. Your cock remains flaccid, even as the red light slowly shaves a bit of fur off the side of each of you. Then it moves rapidly, as though drawing. Your skin tingles. When you try to look back, you cannot see what was done to you. But the man in front of you struggles, and you see, diagonally, a barcode on his side. Some inscription you can't quite read. Yours must be the same. Marks and numbers. Then, yes, you feel the ears on your head more prominently. Your hearing doesn't improve. Its cone of reference simply moves forward. You feel your muzzle lengthen. Your eyes move differently, on the sides of your face a little more. Visual symmetry is now different as well. You are in a natural forward position, leaning forward slightly. Still feeling the thrumming device, you are sure has sped up these changes, resting in your rear, your length flaccid. But an armature comes forward then. It has no laser at its tip. Instead, it holds a small metal ring, which it moves horizontally, aligning it with the head of your newly lengthened and flared cock, and lassoing your cock with that metal ring. It brings it right to the base. It's loose at first, but then you feel a tightness. Not unpleasant. The inside is lightly padded. It makes you hard, though. You're aware your body has ceased tingling. You are now entirely furred. You think about your tail, and manage to make it brush back and forth over the back of your thighs. You attempt to kick with your powerful back legs, but you can find no leverage. The conveyor belt rises up to steady you. You are unable to fall. You are sturdy and steady as that ring squeezes, then vibrates the base of your shaft. The arm that attached it has gone, but you feel your member becoming engorged, making it point almost straight ahead. It smacks up against your belly in a way that makes your mind temporarily a bit blank with insistent external pleasure. You are aware of where you are, of all the implications of this. Your mind is as it was before. But still, what feels good feels good. Pleasure resonates in your brain. You're hard, and through the mere intervention of this little device, you get the sense you will stay that way. Throbbing. Arousal hormones flooding you. You want it. You need to do something. But you can't even thrust your hips. You feel your balls tense against your body. Your neck grows more flexible, and you can bring your head down to look back behind your own legs and see your balls tensing. You can look down underneath yourself and see your cock pointed, pre-cum dripping from the tip of the shaft, and a kind of vibrating pulse, pulse, pulse from the base again and again reminds you you're going to stay hard. It's starting to feel good, but just enough to keep you on the edge. Not nearly enough to trip you over. Your erection bobbles in the open air. But this place is still climate-controlled and comfortable. The fur on your body actually brings your temperature to just the right place. Coarse donkey hair, for this is what you recognize yourself and the person in front of you as. But you know your mind is intact, and so must be everyone else's. Fully intelligent. Human on the inside. Only their shapes have changed. You attempt to send signals to your muscles, or even to your grunting, braying vocal cords, but all that comes out is feeble, unbalanced stirring and a loud braying from deep in your throat. An automatic reaction, having to do with your body and the new configuration of your throat, instead of your mind. But it's the only sound you can make. You flex your muscles again, but only manage to make your cock jump further up against you, smacking against your belly. In unmoving bonds, you stir. You see another armature come down from the shadows outside the conveyor belt. Ahead of you, it has a clamp, padded and comfortable by the look of it. But it isn't coming for you. It's coming for the figure, the donkey in front of you. It lifts him off the belt. It's large enough to wrap around his whole body. The belt lets go of him. You see him being held up and turned, so he's above the belt which has stopped. He has the same ring around his shaft, keeping it erect. Something hooks up to the device in his rear, coming from below, and then another arm swoops down. It has a device on it like a long sleeve. The arm points toward you and you see pink material inside the sleeve. Then the device turns and slips around the cock of the figure in front of you being held up, where it has been lengthened and flared, smoothly lubricated. The sleeve slides all the way down to the ring at the base, and you see the massive length inside it slipping away. You hear a click as it locks in place against that little ring. The arm departs, but leaves the sleeve in place. The sleeve begins moving on its own, pumping up and down his shaft, and you hear a loud bray, an exulting sound. The altered cock hidden inside its sheath must be squirting. The balls are tensed. He is experiencing orgasm. He is moved off to one side, the arm that is padded and wrapped around him, keeping him secure, taking him out of view. And then you are moved forward, into the place he was in. You see he's been attached to a hook on the wall, by that harness that is on him, and left there, balls constantly being pumped, made to orgasm again, coming constantly. And then the same arm scoops around your flanks. You experience the sensation of being lifted. The belt lets go of you. But now you have no purchase at all, and there is a padded, comfortable harness firmly wrapped around you. Your four legs move in the air. Your shaft is still made erect by the vibrating companion at its base. You feel something connect to the device behind you. You feel something connect to the device in your rear. And you instantly feel vitality filling you, as if your hunger were being satiated without you eating anything, as if your fatigue were being restored without sleeping. Even your balls feel more vital and full. And now, in front of you, you see an impending device, just like the one attached to the other person, who had gone before you. You watch, you feel how it's lubricated inside as it arrives right at the tip of your flared, massive shaft. And it's warm in there, too. Some tube is coming out of the other end of it, for your cum to escape through when you orgasm. It slides down, and you feel every inch of it, encapsulating your length. Once it reaches the base, it clicks as it attaches to that little ring, and it begins to piston, pulling the flesh of your sensitive shaft forward, then pushing it backward. You feel pre-cum building up and flowing freely. Your balls are already close to letting forth your climax, stroking and stroking. That mechanical automated sleeve is unwilling to stop, your body twitching. Pleasure arrives in your brain the same way it always would. Your mind hasn't changed, but there is now more of your shaft to feel good with. You twitch, and orgasm arrives. You know it won't be the first or the last. You must have felt something before, but now you were so close. Pump, pump, your cum flows away through the device. You don't know where. Your simple body is involved in an animalistic storm of hormones, and it likes to rut and cum. Whatever the cause, whatever the result, your hips thrust and thrust, and you do feel animalistic thoughts, or at least the pulsing of hormones in your mind. Perhaps a braying will escape your lips. Maybe your body will feel extra sensitive, or the shaft between your legs will feel longer, throbbing, your balls intense. As you are moved and your harness is hooked to the wall, and you're left tethered now, your cock milked mercilessly. No hope for reprieve. No ability even to ask for it. Just the ceaseless pump, 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 constantly milking your long, thick shaft, forcing pleasure into your brain, very aware of what's happening, but slowly being subsumed in the pleasure. And you get to watch the belt out there to your left as you hang on the wall. You get to watch out of the corner of your eye and see others, exposed to the same thing, subjected to the same fate, moved past, being pumped in their own places, constantly coming just like you're going to, constantly on edge, that little vibrating ring keeping them hard and coming, that device in the rear keeping them healthy and vital, ready to come again and again, until any thought of a different life is impossible. And though you may dream of such lives, you may think you emerge from this state. You may think you go elsewhere. Your cock is fit only for this now. Lengthy shaft, endlessly sensitive, flared at the tip, dripping in that sleeve. You wanting to yelp or moan or cry out. But instead, your legs kick, your tail lashes, your buttocks clench. Your body spurts cum out of its balls into that sleeve, which works away, mechanical and merciless, endlessly pushing pleasure into the mind, the body. But the mind remains as it was. The body stays thoroughly changed and influenced by pleasure, pleasure, pump, 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 the entire length of the shaft, endlessly worked, endlessly hard, constantly replenishing the cum in your balls. So just when you think you're empty, just when you think reprieve may come, you're left there, your shaft being worked efficiently, a self-lubricating sleeve just up and down, your shaft so long you can see the end of that pumping sleeve going up and down forever.